You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. Well, welcome to Home Church Restoration Family. We are so glad that you're with us today. I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and hope now, what, a few days later, you are beginning to recover from Christmas as well. I want to say welcome to home churches that are watching, listening throughout the weekend. Welcome to you Facebook Live folks. You're welcome to you who are just checking us out for the first time. We're really glad you're with us. And what we're doing here today is we're walking through the scriptures together, learning how to see our stories in light of God's big story. And right now we're in the Gospel of Luke. We've just begun the story of Jesus. Today we're 8 days out from his birth. And what's happening is Mary and Joseph, his parents, are taking him to the temple in Jerusalem. And they're doing this because according to Mosaic law, on the 8th day, your son was supposed to be circumcised. And on top of that, as their firstborn son, they were to offer a sacrifice to God on his behalf. Now, the law said they were supposed to bring a lamb, but it gave an allowance for the poor to bring 2 doves and 2 pigeons. And that's what it says that Mary and Joseph bring, meaning that Jesus was growing up in a poor family. Now, I can imagine the intimidation of this moment. These two small-town kids, probably teenagers, walking into the big city of Jerusalem with their son, walking into the temple as big as it was, probably filled with people. And this is no little chapel. This temple was a massive complex as the center of religious life for an entire nation. Some scholars think that it could have held 100,000 people comfortably. So when Mary and Joseph, they walk into the temple, imagine how small they feel, like just 2 faces in a crowd, unknown. But astonishingly, they do not go unnoticed. Let's pick up in Luke chapters 2, starting in verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Oh, this kind of blows my mind. Simeon was an elderly man, and I guess he's not in the best of shape, but yet by the Spirit of God, he is led into the temple courts. And once he is there, among thousands of people, he sees the Messiah. He sees baby Jesus. He sees the longing of his heart. He sees the one whom the Spirit said he would see before he died. But as of yet, there's no evidence of his power. There was just a weak old baby here. And let's listen to the words that as he's holding this child, he speaks over his parents here, this prophecy he speaks to them. He says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, last Sunday, if you remember, Mary sang a protest song. And the lines, one of the lines there was that he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And Simeon's prophecy here, it confirms her song because this Jesus, he's causing some to fall and he's causing some to rise. As we said, Jesus has not come to leave this world unchallenged and unchanged. This Jesus is the dividing line of history. He has come to put the world to rights. Some will follow him, some will oppose, but none of us will be left unchallenged and unchanged when we encounter Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, Simeon wasn't the only old saint that the Messiah was seen by in the crowd. Let's pick up here in Luke 2. It says, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Once again, the Holy Spirit reveals what the eyes of man cannot see to this older, faithful saint. And when I say older here, I really mean older. Now, granted, math was not my best subject, but if she was married for 7 years, and say she got married at 14, which was common at that time, and then she was a widow for 84 more years, by my math there, she was 105 years old, or somewhere around there. This woman was 105, fasting and praying and worshiping every single day in the temple. And on top of that, her eyesight was probably, at that age, not very good at all. And yet, she sees what thousands and thousands of people cannot see. She sees the newborn king. Anna and Simeon, by the power of God's Spirit, they see the Messiah. They see Jesus. Now, when I hear this story, there's two things that just blow my mind. Number one, that these two older godly saints can see by God's Spirit what others cannot. But what is just as amazing to me is that all of these thousands of people didn't see. I mean, think about this. You could have been carrying your sacrifice through the temple courts, following law and tradition, and you quite literally could have bumped into the God that you're about to sacrifice to. Or even more still, you could have bumped into the God who was becoming the sacrifice on your behalf. Man, it just reminds me that you and I, we can become so busy with the stuff of God, trying to do all the right things in all the right ways at all the right times. And in the process of what we do for God, we can miss God. I mean, on that day, thousands walked past God on their way to worship him. Think about that. It makes me ask, what was different about Anna and Simeon? What set them apart? Why could they see what other people couldn't see? And I think there's a clue in the phrases that both of them use. And Simeon, when he's prophesying, he says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And later on, verse 38, when it's talking about Anna, it says that she was speaking of Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, those are two very Jewish phrases, but they speak of essentially the same thing, the day that the Messiah would come and put the world to rights. Even in their old age, Simeon and Anna, they had a future. As we've said so many times, they had a future that was powerful enough to sustain them in the present. And because of this future hope, they lived their lives every day with a posture of expectation. I think what they teach us is that there's a difference between I believe God will and I expect God to. I would imagine that day among all those people, a lot of them believed that the Messiah was going to come again, but only Simeon and Anna could see him right in front of their faces. And it wasn't just because they believed, it was because they were living with this posture of expectation by God's Spirit. It reminds me of an old song that we used to sing in church growing up. This Andre Crouch song went like this. It said, soon and very soon, We are going to see the King. The next verse was, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. And man, we would sing those songs with such hope and expectation that, man, the Messiah was coming, and we needed to be ready for the coming of Jesus, who was about to come and make everything new again. I love how Eugene Peterson describes this posture. He says, the Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and focused sense of future. The practical effect of this belief is to charge each moment of the present with hope. For if the future is dominated by the coming again of Jesus, there is little room left on the screen for projecting our anxieties and fantasies. It takes the clutter out of our lives. We're far more free to respond spontaneously to the freedom of God. Now, I remember as a kid when I heard the phrase that Jesus was coming, it was often not spoken as a place of comfort, but kind of as a threat, as if Jesus is coming and that's supposed to strike fear in the hearts of people and make them scared, and if they got scared, maybe they would get saved. I remember even bumper stickers like this one right here that says, Jesus is coming soon, and boy, is he mad. And believe me, my friends, that's the PG version of that as well. But the God that Anna and Simeon are waiting for doesn't seem to strike fear in them. In fact, when they speak of him, it's almost as if they are longing. They are running towards him as fast as they can. They cannot wait till he comes. Man, that phrase that Simeon uses, the consolation of Israel, that word consolation, in the Greek, it's parakletos, and the meaning of that is to call near and to comfort. It's almost the identical word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit, that he is our comforter. In other words, this coming of Jesus is the coming embrace of God. When all of our brokenness and pain and sickness and death and oppression, it will come to an end as we draw near to Jesus, as he calls us in and as he welcomes us home. I mean, this is the heart of our future hope that we read in Revelation chapter 21. Tells us he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Restoration. I want to live like Simeon and Anna. I want to be faithful to the end. I want to have a future strong enough to sustain me in the present. I want to live with a posture of expectation, restoration. I want to be ready. And I want you to be too. When we speak about living with a posture of expectation, I know this is our last Sunday in 2020, what has been an incredibly difficult year. And I've seen many folks, as they speak about the year to come, almost do so cautiously. But as the people of God, I believe that we should walk into this new year like Simeon and Anna. We should walk into this new year with a posture of expectation, that God will come, that God will move, and that because of what is ahead of us, we have a future that is strong enough to sustain us and empower us right here in the present. And so as a family of believers, we come together not just believing that God can, but expecting him to. That's what I want to pray for us as we close today, that God would birth within us a spirit of expectation as we move forward together. So, Holy Spirit, we offer you our lives. We give you all of us. And Lord, where we have been complacent and we've simply held beliefs, where we have just gone about our busyness and walked right by you and not seen that you're right there with us, I pray that you open our eyes. God, help us to live ready. Help us to live with expectation of your movement. Holy Spirit, you have been unleashed in your church. And so help us to live from that power. And I pray, Lord, as we move into this new year, out of such a difficult time, that you would help lead us, lead people with our expectation. That people would see our hope and ask, what is different about these people? Or make our hope tangible. Give us lives together that demand an explanation that only Jesus can be the answer to. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Restoration family, I love you. I hope for home churches you check out restorationlex.com/this week for questions and resources. You can give, you can share prayer requests on the Connect card, kids resources, all sorts of stuff. You know that. Go to restorationlex.com/this week. We will be back in this space next year, because that's just a week later. Sorry, dad joke to end out today, but we will see you in 2021 next Sunday. Love y'all.